So like we said last week, we're gonna. I'm gonna skip a little bit here, like not much, just like a perek or so. I figure before Shavuos, as long as we're in Parshas Yisro, we should discuss Matan Torah. So the next 2 weeks, this week we'll talk about the issues of Revelation itself. Next week, whether it starts with Dibros, and then we'll have 1 week post Shavuos. We'll go back to the beginning of Parshas Yisro, and then we'll call it for the year, and I guess pick up with Mishpatim next year. Okay. So what I want to do here is carefully read through Perek Yotet. So Perek Yotet is the description of Revelation itself, the preparation for Revelation up to the Aseres HaDibros. Or Perek Chaf is the Aseres HaDibros themselves, but Perek Yotet is the description of Revelation. This year is either entirely or almost entirely, I don't remember, based on a shir by Rabbi Liebtag, which I heard when I was in Gush, when he gave it then, but it's on his website, which is where I got the chart from, which didn't come out great in the printing. But what I want to do is just analyze this chapter and see what exactly Hashem planned for Revelation, right? We have this climactic moment, finally, after the Jews leave Mitzrayim, so Hashem is going to give them the Torah, he's going to reveal himself to Jewish people. Well, what does that mean, right? What does it mean he's going to reveal himself to the Jewish people, right? This is the moment. Well, what actually happens? What did Hashem want to happen? What does happen? Are those two different? And why do things play out the way they do? So like I said, what we're going to do is really closely read through Perek Yotet and see what happens. We'll see that it's actually extremely confusing when we actually encounter the Psukim themselves to see what it was that happened. So Perek Yotet starts as follows. V'chodesh ha'shlishi letzei b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh b'yom midbar Sinai. So we're setting the stage. It's the third month. They've left Mitzrayim. So now they reach the Sinai Desert. V'yisum me'refidim v'yom midbar Sinai v'achanu b'midbar v'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. So they travel from Refidim and they come to this desert, and in the desert they come specifically to the mountain and they camp there. So Moshe Allah Elohim Elokim, Vayikra Elav Hashem in Ahar Lemor, Ko Tomar Levei Yaakov, Vitagei Levnei Yisrael. So now they've reached the place. They've reached this mountain, which as we saw earlier in the beginning of Sefer Shemot, is the same mountain where Hashem originally appears to Moshe, and he promises Moshe, you will return to this mountain, and you will worship me here. So now we've reached this moment. Moshe gets to fulfill that original mission that Hashem gave him when he revealed himself at the burning bush. He's reached it. So now he goes to Hashem to find out what he's supposed to do. And Hashem gives him a message. And he says, Atem ri'item asher asiti l'mitzrayim, va'asa etchem aken fein nisharim, va'avi etchem elai. You saw what I did in Egypt, and I put you on the wings of eagles, and I brought you to me. Va'ata. And now, if you listen to what I'm about to tell you, and you protect, you guard the covenant that I'm making with you, so you will be my designated, my treasured nation, because I own the whole land. In other words, I own the whole world, so I can choose whoever I want, and I've chosen you. So you will be for me this kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This is what you should tell the Jewish people. So the introduction, as Hashem says, the goal is you are going to be mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. You are going to be my priests. Now, what exactly does that mean? So we'll come back to it, but presumably what it means is, just like the kohanim, the actual priests, their role is to be the intermediates between the Jewish people and God. So the Jewish people are the intermediates, or the representatives of God, that are between the whole world and God. And we've discussed this before, that the role of Bnei Israel is to model what it means to be a godly nation so that other people can see it and can follow suit. So this is Hashem's introduction. So then Moshe actually approaches the Jews. So Vayivel Moshe Vayikra L'Zekne'am. So now he gathers everyone to convey the message. Vayasem Lifnehem it called Verim Ha'ila Asher Tzivahu Hashem. So Moshe presents the plan to the elders, and he says Vayanu Kolam Yachdav Vayamru Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh. And the people say, anything Hashem says, we will do. Now, Unfortunately, we're not going to get to this before Shavuos, because just analyzing Na'aseh v'Nishma, which is the famous response of the Jewish people, which actually doesn't happen now, right? We get three psukim twice where they say Na'aseh, and only in the third time do we get Na'aseh v'Nishma. How we get to Na'aseh v'Nishma being what we all quote is going to have to wait. But they say, we'll do it. Whatever happens, we'll do it. Vayashav Moshe Dvrei Ha'am El Hashem. So now Moshe goes back and he tells God what the people said. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. So now Hashem continues this conversation. He says, Hinei Anochi Bai Lecha Ba'av Ha'anan. So now what's going to happen? I'm going to descend in a cloud. Bavur Yishma Ha'am B'dabri Imach. So that the people will hear when I'm speaking to you. V'gam b'cha yaminu le'olam. And not only will they believe in me, but they'll believe in you, that you are my messenger. V'agid Moshe Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. And Moshe conveys this message. Sorry, and Moshe conveys what the Jewish people said to God. Now here is where things get really confusing. Okay, right, so now we've gone back and forth, we get the introduction. So finally Hashem says, okay, I want you to be my nation, here's the plan. The Jews say, sure. So now Hashem says, okay, well how is that going to happen? I'm going to reveal myself. But Pasuk Tet is very hard to read, because Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to descend in a mountain, so that the people will hear me speaking to you, and they'll believe that you are my messenger. So at this point, beginning of Pasuk Tet, how is revelation supposed to happen? Right? Hashem speaks to Moshe. Right? Not to the Jewish people. He speaks to Moshe, and the people overhear. Right? They overhear what's going to happen, but there is no direct contact between God and the Jewish people. Now, there's no problem yet, but that's just what's clear in the Pesukim. Second half of Pasuk Tet is very hard to even understand what's going on. Because then, Vayaged Moshe Divrei Ha'am El Hashem, and Moshe goes to God and conveys the message of the people. The problem is, there is no message, right? They didn't say anything, right? There is nothing that happened, right? God tells Moshe, I am going to speak to you, and Moshe, right, you think the next words are he tells the Jewish people what's about to happen. Instead, it says, and Moshe tells God what the Jews said, but the Jews didn't say anything. Right, there's a gap. Right, we have no idea what happened in these psukim. There's just no evidence. And then suddenly we have no idea what happened, but Hashem starts talking again. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Leich al Ha'am V'Kidashtem Hayom Machar V'Chibsut Simlotam. And suddenly he tells Moshe, go tell the people to bathe themselves and go to the mikvah, sanctify themselves, vayu nechonim leyom ha'shlishi, and be ready for the third day, ki leyom ha'shlishi yireid Hashem leinei kol ha'am al har Sinai, because on day three Hashem is going to reveal himself to the Jewish people. Right, so suddenly the plan changed. Right, we have Pasuk Tet, Hashem says, I'm going to speak to you and they'll overhear. Then apparently the Jews said something to Moshe, but we have no idea what they said. And Moshe goes back to God, even though we don't know what he's telling them. And then suddenly, without any indication of why, Hashem seems to change the plan and says, okay, you know what? Prepare the Jewish people because I'm going to reveal myself to them. Right? So there seem to be two completely different plans in what is happening in Revelation. Right? And then this plan, the second plan, seems to be the theme of the next few psukim, right? From Pasuk Yud all the way to Tetvav, this is what we see. V'higbalta et ha'am saviv lemor. Yishamru lachem alot bahar. I tell the Jewish people that they should draw a border around the mountain, but they can't go up. Unogoa b'katzei, or they can only come to the edge. Konogea bahar mot yumad. If they actually touch the mountain itself, they'll die. Lo tigabo yad, kisakol yisakel ro yared. Don't actually touch the mountain, because you'll be stoned. Im beima, im ish lo yechiev, bimshocha yovel heima yalu bahar. Only after the shofar bless can they come on the mountain. Vayir Moshe min ha'ar el ha'am. So Moshe comes down. Vayikadesh al ha'am v'chabzusim lo tam. Vayomer el ha'am ayunechonim l'shosh ha'amim al tikshu al isha. So he comes down from the mountain. He tells them, be prepared, right? Don't be with your wives, right? There has to be separation between husbands and wives. And he gets them ready for a direct revelation with God. So you look at the Pesukim, and there seem to be two plans, but we don't quite understand how we got from plan one to plan two. So, picking up on this, if you look at source one, Rashi picks up on two things. One is that Pasuk Tet versus Pasuk Yud to Tet Vav seem to present two different plans of revelation. And the second thing he picks up on is the fact that Pasuk Tet has an untold message that the Jews convey to Moshe that Moshe in turn conveys to God. So he takes these two pieces of evidence and he uses them to explain each other. And he assumes, well, we don't know what the Jewish people told God. We only know that whatever it was they told God led to a change in plans from Pasuk Tet to Pasuk Yud. So he assumes that the content of their message must be the answer to why we switch from plan 1 to 2. So he says as follows, Tshuva al davar zeh shamati mehem. So he says, what happened? Pasuk Tet, Hashem said to Moshe, tell the Jewish people that I'm going to reveal myself to you and not to them. So Moshe says to God, Tshuva al davar zeh shamati mehem. I heard, right, you said that, and they responded. They said, no. Ritzonam lishma mimcha. They want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. Because hearing from the king is different from hearing from his messenger. We want to see our king. So Rashi interpolates into Pasuk Tet that the message that the Jewish people said is this is a bad plan. You want to reveal yourself? Fine. But you have to reveal yourself directly. We want to talk to you. So, Pasuk Yud, therefore, is Hashem saying, okay, you want to talk to me directly. Well, look, if I was talking to Moshe, so you're not talking to me, so there's no preparation necessary, but you want to talk to me directly, fine. But talking to God takes preparation. So suddenly, Pasuk Yud launches into Hashem's response, which is, okay, then they want to talk to me, I'm okay with that, but then tell them that you have to sanctify yourselves, right? That means separate from your wives for 3 days, go to the mikveh, clean your clothes, right? And you want to come to me? Fine, but there's limits. You're going to come to the mountain. When you get to the mountain, don't touch the mountain. You can only come so close. I will reveal myself to you, but there's going to be a certain distance, right? All those instructions, Rashi tells us, are the answer to these unspoken message of the Jewish people. So if you look at the chart here, right? This is just helpful if you want to look at it, right? Like I said, I'm following Rabbi Liebtag's analysis based on Rashi here. So this chart just follows it, right? 1 through 6 is Hashem's proposition for plan A, right? Pasuk Tet is where the implied request for plan B, right? So plan A is God's plan that he'll reveal himself to Moshe and the Jews will overhear or Moshe will convey the message. Plan B is the Jews' request that Hashem talk to them directly. Pasuk Yud through Tedvav is the preparation necessary for plan B. Now, the Mechilta is where Rashi gets this from, right? This is number 2, where you have a little bit more elaborate description of this. So the Mechilta tells you, Vayed Moshe. Moshe told the Jews. So he said, V'chima Amri Yisrael Moshe. What was it that the Jews told Moshe to convey to God? Lomar Lefnei Makom. They told him, tell God. And then, so what did the Jews say to God? What did God say to Moshe? So, Lomar Lahen L'Israel. So, Amru, the Jews said, Ritzoneinu L'shma Min Malkeinu, She'ena Domeh, Shomea Mipi Pedagog, L'shomea Mipi Amelech. We want to hear from God. Now, Rashi takes away the word pedagog, right, and replaces it with Shliach. But the original in the Midrash is the Greek, right, is we want to hear from God and not from the pedagog, right, not from the teacher, we want to hear from the king. I'll give them what they want. So that they will hear when I'm talking. They said, no, we don't just want to hear you over, you know, talking to Moshe and overhear it. We want to. We want to see our king. We don't just want to hear, we want to see. We want revelation. Fine, you want it, I'll give it to you. And that's what happens. And then the Midrash adds something that Rashi leaves out, which is that this becomes the model for what will happen in the future. In the Messianic age, plan 2, plan B, will be the future. That our relationship with God will not be through a messenger. It will be face to face. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo. Right, we have two psukim, one which says we'll see God eye to eye, and the other one which says Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, which Chazal are understanding Zeh Hashem. They'll point to God and say we have kivinu lo. We've waited, we've hoped for Him. So the Midrash says this is not just what happens at Har Sinai, but this is the plan forever, that we shift from model one, right, plan A, to plan B, from the relationship of the Jewish people and God being one of an intermediary to one of the relationship being direct. Okay, that would be very nice if that's how it actually played out. But as we continue through Perek Yotet, it turns out that this becomes much more complicated, right? So far we have proposition for plan A, the Jews responding plan B, and God acquiescing. But then it gets really complicated, because Pasuk Tetzayin now describes revelation itself. Vahi bayom ha-shlishi, so day three, pihyot ha-boker, so in the morning, vahi kolod uvrakim vanan kaved al-har, v'kol shofar chazak ma'od, v'cherad kol am asher b'machane. So, you want revelation, you're going to get it. Lightning, thunder, clouds, shofar blast, and the Jews are terrified. Right? Because revelation is scary. If God himself is descending, and it's not through a messenger, so this is going to be intense. Vayotzei Moshe ha'am l'krade Elokim min ha'machaneh, vayityatzvu b'tachti ha'har. So Moshe takes them to the mountain, and they stand at the bottom of the mountain. V'har Sinai ashan kulo, v'pnei asher yorad alav Hashem pa'esh. And the mountain is burning in fire because Hashem is on it. It's like the fire of an oven. And the whole mountain is shaking. So this is the description. So on the one hand, we have this description of the Jews going out themselves, right? They're about to see God. On the other hand, there are indications that plan A is still sort of existent, namely Moshe is taking them out, and it's happening through a cloud, right? And the cloud is always the sign of God's, right, being a little bit hidden, right? That was the original plan, that he'll reveal himself in a cloud, right, to Moshe, right, in Pasuk. Right, in Pasuk Tet, right, the beginning of plan one was that I'll come in a cloud. So on the one hand, you have the Jews going to the mountain, which was plan B. On the other hand, you have Hashem saying he's going to reveal himself in the cloud, Be'ev Ha'anan, which was plan A. So we have the Psukim, God proposing that I'm going to reveal myself to Moshe and you'll overhear. The Jews saying, no, we want direct revelation. And then when it actually happens, you get a mix. You have the Jews coming to the mountain themselves, so it sounds like plan B, but on the other hand, God is still revealing himself, Ba'av Ha'anan, which was plan A, right? So you get a mix of what plans are going on. And then, Pasuk Yutet, right, we get a surprise, which is, so now, Hashem is about to speak, Vahi kol ha-shofar ha-leich ve-chazak me'od, ve-chazek me'od, so now the shofar blast is going, it's getting stronger and stronger, Moshe yidaber, Ve'elokim yanenu v'kol. Moshe would speak, and God would respond to him, right, with his voice. So Pasuk Yutet, suddenly, right, plan, so we had plan A, plan B, plan A and B mixed, and now back to plan A with no explanation, right, and plan B has evaporated, right? Moshe actually, Hashem now reveals himself, and he reveals himself to Moshe and not to the Jews, right? He speaks to Moshe, and he has a conversation with Moshe. Right? And then, right, if we would skip right now to skip from one, we'll come back in a minute. Right? If we skip now to, well, actually, no. If we read through it, you'll see that this theme continues. Right? Pasuk Chaf through Chaf Hey are all plan A. Right, or all Hashem talking to Moshe. Vayirat Hashem al Har Sinai al Rosh Ahar. Vayikra Hashem le Moshe al Rosh Ahar vayal Moshe. Hashem descends on Har Sinai and he calls to Moshe and Moshe goes up. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Right, the emphasis is over and over again. Hashem says to Moshe, Raid Ham Ba'am, Ha'id Ba'am Pen Yarsu al Hashem le Rov v'Nafal Menu Rav. Go warn the people not to come, because they might die. The And even the Kohanim, who can come closer, have to be sanctified, because otherwise God's wrath will burst forth against them. Vayomer Moshe el Am and el Hashem, and Moshe says to God, Lo yuchal am lalod har Sinai, ki atai ha'idota banu leimor hakbel et har v'kidashto. And Moshe says to God, the people can't come to har Sinai because you've warned us to stay away from the mountain and to sanctify it. Vayomrei lav Hashem. So Hashem says to Moshe, Lechrei, go down. Valita ata v'aron imach. You come back with Aaron. V'akohanim v'am al yarsu la'lod el Hashem pen yifratz bam. But the Jews and the Kohanim won't ascend the mountain because then they would get killed. Vayered Moshe alam v'yomrei lehem. And Moshe goes down to the Jewish people and he tells them. So right, without any explanation, we have five psukim where what actually happens is plan A, what God said originally, which is I'm going to reveal myself to Moshe, and the Jews are not involved. There's a conversation between God and Moshe. I'm going to go up, make sure the Jews stay down, you come back to me, bring Aaron, but keep the Kohanim down so you and Aaron can talk to me. But there's a conversation going on only between Moshe and God, and the Jewish people aren't involved. So that would be great, but it gets more confusing, because then we start Perek Chaf, which is the Aseret HaDibrot, and suddenly, Vayidaber Elokim, et kol ha'dvarim ha'ila lemor, Hashem says it to, says the Aseret HaDibrot. We don't know who he says it to, but suddenly in Pasuk Bet we get Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, which means he's talking to the Jewish people. Asher hotzeiticham eretz Mizraim beit avadim lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim al panayim. You can't have other gods. Lo taseh lecha fesel kol tmuna asher b'shamayim mima'al v'asher b'aretz mitachad v'asher b'mayim mitachad v'aretz. Don't make idols, etc. Lo tishtachaveh lohem v'lo ta'avdeim. Ki anochi Hashem elokecha el kana pokeid avon avod al banim al shileishim v'al ribayim l'sonai. When I am God, I'm the zealous God, I'm the jealous God, and I will punish those for three and four generations who worship idols. V'osa chesel alfim lo avai l'shem remitz v'dai. And then without any expectation, without any explanation, Pasuk Zion, Dibra 3, changes tone and switches from second person to third. Lo tisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav. Don't, right, he's no longer talking, it's Moshe talking, seemingly. Don't use God's name in vain. Ki lo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisa Hashem lashav. Because God will not cleanse he who takes his name in vain. So with that explanation, after Dibra 2, we move to third person. It seems like Moshe is doing the talking and not God. So we have this very complicated moving back and forth from plan A to plan B, from God saying he's going to have an indirect revelation of the Jewish people to Hashem saying he's going to have a direct revelation with the Jewish people. And right, it's not really clear how these all work together. The last psukim we need to see to understand this, if we skip to the end of the perek, so in Pasuk Tetvav, this is a mistake here. Oh no, it's just different counts. But Perek Chaf Pasuk Tetvav after the Aseret HaDibrot. So now we have a summary at the end. V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot ve'et ha'lapidim ve'et kol ha'shofar ve'et ha'ar ha'shein v'yar ha'am v'ainu v'aimdu me'achok. All the people look and they see the thunder and the fire, and the shofar, and they are afraid. So they retreat backwards. Vayomru al Moshe, daberata imanu v'nishma. And the Jews tell Moshe, you speak to God, and we'll hear from you. Va'al yidaber imanu elokem pen namut. And don't let God speak to us directly, because we're going to die. So suddenly, at the end of Perek Chaf, we have the Jews retracting what Rashi had said was what they asked for originally, and saying, no, we understand, we want plan A. The problem is, this is after the Aseret HaDibrot, when it seems like God has already spoken to them. Right now we get a unit where the Jews say, we don't want to talk to God, but according to the simple read of the Psukim, they already have spoken to God. And Moshe says, okay, don't worry, Hashem is testing you. And Moshe approaches the mountain and not the Jewish people, and that's where God is. Right? So we have two prakim, where we have these two revelations being described interchangeably, right? The one where Hashem reveals himself to Moshe, and the one where Hashem reveals himself to the Jewish people. We have an explicit request by the Jewish people to go back to plan A, and an implicit request, according to Rashi, of going to and going to plan B. So the question then becomes, for the Mefarshim, is how do we deal with the evidence, right? How did this story actually unfold? So Rashi has a very elegant and very famous explanation, which people have heard the Rashi, but they don't understand where the Rashi and Chazal are coming from when they present this explanation. And Rashi presents, if you look at the chart, he reorders two things. He takes the psukim at the end, Perek Tet Vav, and moves them to the middle of the Aseret HaDibro, right? After Dibra number two, right? And Rashi's explanation, right? Which people have heard this. It's Rashi quoting Chazal in the end of Makot, says that there was a difference between Dibra number one and two and the last eight. Dibra one and two was Hashem speaking directly to the Jewish people, and the last eight is Hashem speaking to Moshe and Moshe speaking to the Jewish people. Now, where did Rashi get that? Well, Rashi understands the story as follows. And Hashem proposes to the Jewish people, I will talk to Moshe. The Jewish people turn to Moshe and say, we don't want that. We want to talk to God. Hashem says, okay, I'll let you try. But if you want to talk directly to me, then what you got to do is you got to prepare for 3 days. So Jews prepare for 3 days, and now they reach Har Sinai, and Hashem says, wait, both plans are still on the table. There's your plan, my plan. We're going to try your plan, but remember, there's another plan lurking here. First Dibra and second Dibra, Hashem says, okay, I'm going to try plan B. I'm going to do what you asked. I am going to speak directly to you. Now, according to Rashi, at this point, the Jews freak out, right? They're terrified. And we're in the middle of the Aseret HaDibro, so the Psukim don't tell us what happens, but this coda at the end, Perek Tes Vav to Pasuk Tes Vav to Pasuk Yud Chet, is right, really happening after Dibra 2. So Hashem speaks them directly for Pasuk, for the first two Dibrot, and the Jews say, you know what, we can't handle this. Moshe, we can't deal with it. We need you to talk. So the first two Dibrot Hashem is speaking directly, hence second person, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Jews can't handle it, so in Pasuk Tet Vav, which really happens in the middle of the Dibrot, they turn to God and they say, look, we're afraid, you go, you tell us the rest. Pasuk, the third Dibra is in third person, because Moshe says, okay, I'll be the intermediary, I'm going to convey it. And that's Rashi in Source 3. Moshe Yidaber, right, which as you see in the chart, gets pushed, right? Right, you have both this, right, Pasuk Yud Tet, which happens before the Aseret HaDibrot, and Perek Chav Pasuk Tet Vav, which happens after the Aseret HaDibrot, according to Rashi, all happen at the same time in the middle, right? Just that they're out of order, right? It's the real order is, until after the first two Dibrot, the Jews freak out, and once they freak out, Moshe Yidaber Ve'elokim Yanenu B'kol, it changes to Moshe, Hashem talking to Moshe. So that's Pasuk, that's Rashi in Yutet, Moshe Yidaber, Kshaya Moshe Midaber, U'mashmi'a Dibrot L'Yisrael, Sharei Lo Shamu Mipi HaGvura El Anochi V'lo Yelecha. Right, after number one and two, so then it transfers to Hashem speaking to Moshe, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Misayo L'Tit B'Koch L'Yot Kolel Magbir U'Nishma. At that point, Moshe's intermediary, so Hashem has to help him so that he can project loud enough. And that's how the Rambam takes it as well. The Rambam in 5 in the Inamar Nevuchim says as follows. He says, it's clear to me that what Moshe experienced in the revelation on Mount Sinai was different from that which was experienced by all the other Israelites, for Moshe alone was addressed by God. And for this reason, the second person singular is used in the Ten Commandments. Moshe then went down to the foot of the mountain and told his fellow men what he'd heard. All right, I stood, as it says, right, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to tell you the word of the Lord. Again, Moshe spoke, and God answered him with a loud voice. So, first, the Rambam suggests maybe the Jews never encountered God directly at all. But then he quotes the Midrash, and he says, in the Mechilta, our sages say distinctly that he brought to them every word as he had heard it. Furthermore, the words, in order that the people hear when I speak with thee, show that God spoke to Moshe, and the people only heard the mighty sound, not distinct words. It is to the perception of this mighty sound that Scripture refers in the passage, when you heard the sound. Again, it is stated you heard a sound of words, and it's not said you heard words. And even where the hearing of the words is mentioned, only the perception of the sound is meant. It is only Moshe that heard the words and he reported them to the people. This is apparent from Scripture and from the utterance of our sages in general. Sorry. The first thing he says is that he thinks this never happened. The only thing that happened was plan A, that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Moshe spoke to the Jewish people. But then he says, there is, however, an opinion of our sages, frequently expressed in the Midrashim and found also in the Talmud to this effect. The Israelites heard the first and the second commandments from God. They learned the truth of the principles contained in these two commandments in the same manner as Moshe, and not through Moshe. For these two principles, the existence of God and his unity can be arrived at by means of reasoning, and whatever can be established by proof is known by the prophet in the same way as many other persons. He has no advantage in this respect. These two principles were not known through prophecy alone. And he explains, what does it mean that the Jews heard the first two directly? The belief in God, and therefore the converse of that, which is, or the complement of that, that you shouldn't worship idols, that you can access directly through philosophy, through your own mind, and therefore that could be revealed directly to the Jewish people from God himself. But after that, you need Moshe to be the intermediary. So he has two positions. Either, like this position of Chazal, that there's a difference between number one and two in the last eight, or his first position, which is that no, the only plan that ever happened was plan A. It was that Hashem was going to speak to Moshe, and Moshe would speak to the Jewish people. The Ramban rejects Chazal's interpretation of Chazal, or this interpretation of Chazal, and says that the only thing that existed was plan A, and that's the Ramban in 4. And he says, "Al derech ha-pshat lo yidaber baze adayin." Right, the pshat is not as Rashi said it. He said, "Aval yarad Hashem anechbad el ahar bayom ashlishi." Hashem came down on the third day. Votzim Moshe ha'amin ha-machane likrat ha-kavod ha-nira lahem. And Moshe went out to this presence of God. Ve'itzavu heim betachtid ahar. They stood at the bottom of the mountain. Moshe ala lamala karov l'rosh ahar. And Moshe goes up to the top of the mountain, Sheshama Kavod, Mechitza La'atzmo, Umidaber Mishrael Ra'ata Mayasu. And he goes in his own little place and talks to God to find out what they should do. Yisrael Shomim Kol Elokim She'oneh Oto. And the Jews overhear the conversation between Hashem and Moshe. Ve'itzaveinu V'heim Lo Yavinu Mayomar Lo. They hear it, but they don't really understand it. And then Moshe has to come back and explain what it was the Jews were hearing, right? They heard something. They overheard some message to Moshe, but they can't fully perceive it because they're not actually privy to the revelation. So then Hashem sends Moshe to convey the content of the revelation. Lech reid valita atav aroni mach. Vayaze kodem matan Torah. V'gam b'shad ha-dibrot, ki Moshe lo ala rosh ha'al el ha-rafel asher sham elokim rach lachar matan Torah. And he said, all of this happens at the end, right? So he mixes up the psukim also, and he says, right, really the request that Moshe be the intermediary happens all the way at the beginning, not in the middle, right? So what you have is Hashem proposing that he should speak through Moshe, the Jews suggesting otherwise, and then them realizing that this is too scary. So Moshe deciding, so the Jews deciding, you know what, we don't want direct revelation. So all the way at the beginning, they change their mind, right? They suggest, oh, maybe we should talk directly to God. And then they get there, realize what that's going to entail, say, you know what, forget it. Moshe says, okay. Then there's a sort of generic revelation that they don't really understand what's happening, right? They sense that Hashem is talking to Moshe and overhear something, but they're overwhelmed by the experience. And then Moshe at the end comes down and explains what it was they just heard, right? What was going on in that overwhelming experience. That's what Moshe tells them, that I'll be between you and God. And that's what Moshe tells them, that I was between you and that, you and God, and you actually didn't go. Some say, Yisrael yirem ma'od mikol shofar sholech v'chazek ma'od. Moshe haya omer tchila kivnu da'atchem ki atad yishmu kol binyan kach u'mare elokim yanin oto b'kol. And some say that the Jews were afraid by the shofar and Moshe had told them, pay attention and you'll hear what's going on. But again, the Ramban himself thinks that what really happened was that it never came to fruition. right? The Jews, before God even starts talking, they get scared. They tell Moshe, you know what? Let's go back to that plan. So he moves Perek Tezvav all the way to the beginning, before the Aseret HaDibros. Right, they get to the mountain. There's fire everywhere. There's lightning and thunder. They say, you know what? Forget it. So Moshe says, okay, so I will convey it. I'll convey the message to God. In Perek Chaf Pasuk Tedvav, he clarifies this. And he says, this is on Perek Chaf Pasuk Tedvav. And he says, V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot. He says, V'yomru ha'moshe, da'am mefarshim sh'ayez ha'achar matan Torah.
And
the Mefarshim, Rashi, right, thinks that this happens after Matan Torah, in the middle of Matan Torah. I don't think that's true. Because the Jews said, we don't want to talk to God. Moshe Amar Bekan Al Tirah. Moshe said, don't worry. Visham Nevar Heitivu Kol Asher Tiberu Va'od Ki Bekan Lo Siper Sheyefchadu Rak Mina Kolod Valapidim Mina Harsho Hashen. And furthermore, it says that they were afraid of the fire and the voices, and the sounds, but not God's voice. Right? Rashi says what scared them wasn't the fire; was the first two dibro where they heard God. The Ramban says no. What made them afraid was the experience. So this must have happened before God even started talking.
V'sham pachadu midibur ha-shchinash, and shamru ki mi kol basar she-shema kol elokim chayim midaber mitoch ha-esh kamonu v'yechi, because they were afraid. They said, how could we hear God and live? V'od ki bekan amar Moshe nigash al ha-rafel v'lo amar sheba betocho. V'nachon be'inai b'parashah v'sidur ha-nyan.
So he said, so how do I think the story unfolded? Ki v'chol ha-am ro'im, so everyone saw. V'yomru Moshe ha-yakam kodim matan Torah. So they said to Moshe before matan Torah, mitchila hiskir kiseder kol divrei Elokim mashe tziva l'Moshe ba'agvelat ha-ar v'asar ha-am v'asar ha-dibrot. So the beginning, Moshe warns them, stay away. V'ata chazar v'hiskir divrei ha-am Moshe. So first it tells you everything Moshe is going to tell them. Then it says what the Jews said to Moshe. V'amar kim e'echaru ed ha-kolot ved ha-lapidim na'u l'achor. As soon as they saw the experience, they ran away. V'amdu merach beyond even where Moshe had set up the periphery. So that morning there was thunder and lightning. The kol shofar chazak, and this loud shofar. The Shekhinah didn't come yet. Right, it's like by Eliyahu, it's the beginning of this storm that precedes God's presence. They're scared. Tachanutam, and they're afraid already in the camp. And Moshe gives them courage to come. So they make it to the mountain. When they're standing there, Hashem's presence actually descends. And that's the darkness and the clouds, the chareda haratz moven is dazeah, and the mountain itself shook. Kasher yasu berashe yarden yisov lachor. Sorry, kasher. I skipped a line. And across zilzala yoter mikain, the chen katuv harim rakdu kailim gvaod givnei tzon. Ve'inenu mashal, kashenu mashal ayam rava yanoz yarden yisov lachor. V'nichazei kol shavam od. Right, the everything shaking and the shofar getting louder. At that point, they run away. Beyond the periphery. At that point, they give up and they say, don't let God talk to us at all. They lost their confidence. And they were afraid if they heard God at all, they would die. Moshe chazkam v'amar lahem al tirau. So he strengthened them and said, don't worry. So they come closer. And Moshe says, don't worry, Hashem won't talk to you directly. They never wanted to come to the mountain itself. Moshe nigash el ha-rafel. So Moshe goes in. And once, right, we've dealt with all this fear, so Moshe goes in, they stand on the outside and they listen. So the Ramban reorders the whole thing and says, again, there was God's proposition that he'll speak directly. He'll speak not indirectly. The Jews suggested, let's talk directly. And then as soon as they get to the mountain, they say, you know what, this is too much for us, we can't handle it. Moshe says, okay, don't worry, come back to the mountain, I'll be the intermediary. There's nothing to be afraid of. Hashem won't talk to you directly. Right. Now, in the next few sources, I just gave you the other sources in Chazal or in 8. This is where Rashi gets it from, right? That Chazal say, what does it mean when we say Torah tzivah lanu Moshe? Torah is the gematria 611. So Chazal say in 8, Shit ma'a v'chad tzrei have. Torah, which is 611. So, 611, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, 611 of the mitzvot Hashem gave to Moshe, but the first two Hashem gave to us directly, right? There's a split. So, 2 are from God and 611 are from Moshe. Now, the Chizkuni in 7, who is with Rashi on this, explains that the reason, as we already said, that the Jews' request to revert to plan A appears after the Dibrot. He just says, right, Kol ha'am mikan ad lo tigaler v'atcha alav, dino liot nechtav achar lo shomrei mitzvotai. That whole parsha should have been written after Dibra number 2. Ela shelo ratza lafsik ben ha'dibrot. But once you're saying the aser ha'dibrot, so the psukim don't tell you about this conversation. Okay. The Ibn Ezra has a slightly different perspective on it in 9. He says, "Vayomru haKohanim v'Rashei HaMatot k'shayu krovim elav heim dabru imo." So the Kohanim, the leaders, said to Moshe, "Achar shenishlamu aseret hadvarim." After all of the aseret hadvarim, ki kol kach hayu yirim. They were so afraid. Ki pachdu shaHashem yidaber odi mahem v'yamutu. Bavur zeh amar Moshe lahem al tirau. The Ibn Ezra has a totally different perspective. And he says, no, Hashem really did speak to the Jewish people during the Aseret HaDibrot, and the Psukim are in order. After the Aseret HaDibrot, the Jewish people were so overwhelmed, they said, please never do that again. Right? That was way, way too much. If you do that anymore, we're going to die. And the Psukim are, in fact, exactly as they seem. Hashem said, I'll talk through Moshe. The Jews said, no, we can handle it. They get through, and they're like, we really couldn't handle that. Please never, never do that again. So you end up with 3 perspectives on what actually happened. You have the Ibn Ezra who says that basically there was Hashem proposed talking through Moshe. The Jews said, we want to talk directly. They get what they want, and they realized it was really way too much to handle to say, I can never do that again. Anything from here on in, please, please be the intermediary. You have the Ramban who says, we never got that far. The Jews said, okay, let's have a revelation with God. They get to the mountain, there's fire, there's thunder, there's a shofar, and they say, we're out of here. They run away, and Moshe says, okay, come back, don't worry, you don't have to hear God, I will be the intermediary. And then you have Rashi, based on Chazal and the Chizkuni, you say, no, there's actually a split. There was plan A, which was, God will speak to Moshe. Then the Jews say, no, we want to talk to God. So Hashem says, okay, so prepare. They prepare, they get there, they hear the first 2, they say, stop anymore, right? It's not going to work, right? There are other midrashim that go farther, and they say that each time Hashem spoke, they died, their souls left them, right? And the malachim had to come, put their souls back in, right? Hashem said, okay, time for number 2, their souls left them again, and the Jews said, look, we've died twice in the middle, right? We've had enough, right? We can't handle this, and just, you be the intermediary, we can't do this again. Okay. Now, both of these revelations, if you look in the last source here, which should be 10, but it's unnumbered, in Dvarim, Perek Hey, when Moshe is reminiscing about Aseret HaDibrot, you find that both of these revelations Hashem talks about. In Pasuk Dalet, he says, Panim b'fanim diber Hashem b'machem bahar b'tocha ish. Moshe says to them, face to face you talk to God from within the fire on the mountain. And then in Pasuk Hey, he says, Anochi omeid ben Hashem uvein Echem, and I was standing between you and God. Beit Ha'il, agid lochem et dvar Hashem, ki reitem b'pnei ha'esh, lo alitem bahar leimor. And because you were afraid because of the fire, so I was in between and you didn't come up. So you have both plans here. Now, according to the Ramban, you have to say that Panim b'Panim was the original plan, but it never actually happened. According to Ibn Ezra or Rashi, you have an easy explanation. Rashi says, Panim b'panim, Pasuk Dalet, is first 2 Dibrot. The last 8 Dibrot, right, the ones which are in third person, were Plan B, Plan A, which ended up being the last of the 8 Dibrot. And according to Ibn Ezra, the Aseret HaDibrot were Plan B, where Hashem actually spoke to the Jewish people, at which point the Jews said, we can't handle anymore. Any more laws has to be through Moshe. But you see that both revelations, right, Revelation A and Revelation B, the Psukim in Dvarim record both of them as if they both happened, right? It's not really clear how they both happened, but somehow they both happened. Okay. So, what do we get from this, right? We have, therefore, this very complicated parak and a half, where we go from plan A to plan B to plan A to plan B, and in the end, we don't even know what happened, right? Whether plan B was attempted and never got off the ground, plan B succeeded for the first two dibrot and failed for the next eight, whether plan B succeeded for the Aseret HaDibrot but failed for the rest of the Torah, right? We don't know. But there's clearly these two plans, which were going back and forth, leading to all of this complexity in what actually happened. Again, if you want to look at the chart at the beginning, right? This is Rabbi Liebtag's thing, right? These just took him in order, and then those arrows are, right, are how Mefarshim move them around, right? It's not clear where things are happening, but, right, plan A and plan B are being shifted around to try to create a coherent story. But however it happened, why... especially according to Ramban, that plan B never got off the ground, right? Why then does the Torah tell us about plan B, right? Why, according to the Ramban, does God bother telling us that there was an attempt to talk directly to God? And why tell us God's plan was he was going to talk to Moshe? The Jews had a thought that maybe they would talk directly. They realized when they got to Har Sinai that was a mistake, so they say, forget it. According to Rashi, what if God knew that the Jews couldn't handle direct revelation, so why did he let them try and actually go through the first two, which according to Midrash means they ended up dying, right, each time, and they had to be revived, right? Why go through with plan B? Why accept the Jews' request for plan B if you're just going to have to revert to plan A because plan B is overwhelming? And I think I'm mixing up A and B, but why revert to... why go to direct revelation if you're going to have to go back to indirect revelation, right? We'll just make it easy, right? And according to Ben Ezra, if the Jews can't handle direct revelation, then why are the Aseret HaDibrot all direct revelation if the Jews really can't handle it and are going to be overwhelmed by the experience? So number 10, this is, right, Rabbi Liebtag, when he finishes it, suggests what I think is probably, right, what comes out of it. And he says, one could suggest that this ambiguity is intentional, as it reflects the very nature of man's encounter with the divine. Man in search of God faces a double-edged sword. On the one hand, he must constantly strive to come as close to God as possible, right? Ahava, the love of God. On the other hand, he must constantly retain an awareness of God's greatness and recognize his own shortcomings and unworthiness, or yira, the fear or reverence of God. Awed by God's infinity and humbled by his own imperfection, man must keep his distance. God's original plan for Matan Torah was realistic. Recognizing better than anyone man's inability to directly confront the Shechina, God intends to use Moshe as an intermediary. Bnei Yisrael, eager to become active covenantal partners with God, desire to come as close as possible to Har Sinai. They want to encounter the Shechina directly without any mediating agent. Could God say no to this sincere expression of Avad Hashem? Of course not. Yet on the other hand, answering yes could place the people in tremendous danger, as they must rise to the highest levels of spirituality to deserve such a direct, unmediated manifestation of God. Plan A reflects reality, while plan B signifies the ideal. One could suggest that by presenting the details with such ambiguity, the Torah emphasizes the need to find the proper balance between realism and idealism when serving God. Right? God knows best. Although God knows full well that Bnei Israel cannot possibly sustain a direct contact with the Shechina, he nonetheless concedes their request to hear the commandments directly. Why? One can compare this divine encounter to a parent-child relationship. As a child grows up, there are times when he wishes to do things on his own. Despite his clear incapability to perform the given task, his desire to accomplish it is the key to his growth. A wise parent will allow his child to try, even though he knows that the child will fail. Better one recognize the limits of his capabilities on his own rather than be told by others that he cannot accomplish. On the other hand, although a child's desire to grow should not be inhibited by an overprotective parent, a responsible parent must also know when to tell his child, stop.
Likewise, God is well aware of Bnei Yisrael's unworthiness to encounter the divine as the highest level. Nevertheless, he encourages them to aspire to their highest potential. As Bnei Yisrael struggle to maintain the proper balance between Ahava and Yirah, God must guide and they must strive. Our study of Parshat Yisro has shown us that what actually happened in Mamad Har Sinai remains unclear. However, what could have happened remains man's eternal challenge. Right? So what he argues is that the ambiguity of revelation, right, before we even get to the content of the Aseret HaDibrot, right, is meant to convey, however you understand it, this constant struggle in our relationship with God. Right? Because whether you hold like the Ramban, that God knew that the Jews would never succeed, he still tells them, okay, you want to be close to me? You want direct revelation? Fine, go through the preparation. Right? Why did he tell them to go to the mikveh, separate from the wives for 3 days, come to it, be ready? Because even if at the last moment they were going to fail and they were going to be terrified, he wanted them to come to that realization by themselves. But you know what? They grew because they were willing to say, okay, we're going to push ourselves, we're going to purify ourselves, we're going to be ready. They weren't ready because they're human, and actually approaching God is near impossible. And according to Ramban, only Moshe ever got to do it. But going through the process of preparing to meet God and recognizing their own limitation means that they got to express Ahava. They got to try to be close. And then through their own internalization of their own limitations, they were able to temper that Ahava with Yirah and say, we want to do this, but we can't. Right? According to Rashi, right, it went farther. They actually experienced it, right? The first two. They actually got it. They got that moment of unmediated revelation. It was too much, but they got to experience it, if only for a moment. And again, according to Chazal, they even died in the process, and God had to supernaturally send angels to bring their souls back. But for a moment, they got it, and at that point, they said, okay, we understand we can't do it. We tried. It's beyond us. But we tried. We managed it for two. But please, from now on, we understand our limitations. Be the intermediary. According to Ibn Ezra, all of the Aseret HaDibrot was an experiment. And the Jews heard it, but then said, you know what? This is too much. That's not how day-to-day life is going to be. The rest of the mitzvot, please be our intermediary. But however you cut it, the psukim go out of their way to make it ambiguous and go back and forth from plan A, B, A, B, A, A, B, B, A. And taken together, what it tells us is that without even getting to the content of the Aseret HaDibrot, the story of revelation is the story of our balancing, on the one hand, our attempt to reach God, and the understanding that the closer we get, the more we realize we have to take a step back. And I'll just add two final points to that. One is what I noted from the Mechilta, which Rashi doesn't quote, which is the Mechilta says, right, and if you remember, number two, is that Af latid lavo atidin Yisrael lirot pnei Hashchina ayin ba'ayin. Right, the Mechilta's answer to this perpetual problem is that there will be a day when we'll be able to overcome the limitations. It may not have been in Har Sinai. In Har Sinai, maybe we got nothing, or maybe we got the first two Dibro. But there will be a day when we will be ready for it. Right, so it's not just an example of the balance, it's also setting the stage for eventually shifting the balance, where at Har Sinai we couldn't handle it, but one day we will be able to. And the second thing, and this is something I noted to when I used to give in Gush, I gave for a year a series on Haftarot. And I noted to my group of guys that often the Haftarot and the choice of Chazal of the Haftarot act as parshanut on the parsha. And I noted something interesting. If you ask the average person what is the centerpiece of Parshas Yisro, they would say it is the Aseret HaDibrot, and specifically the content of the Aseret HaDibrot. But I noted that the two times a year we read the Aseret HaDibrot, three times actually, three times a year we read the Aseret HaDibrot, right? Parshas Yisro, Parshas Va'aschanan, right? And on Shavuos, specifically Shavuos and Yisro. Va'aschanan is the middle of the special Haftarot for, right, the 3 weeks, and for then the Sheva de Nechemasa. But the other two times where we read a Haftarot, which is actually linked to Aseret HaDibrot, Chazal didn't choose a Haftarot that talks about mitzvot. They talked about the two iterations of Maaser Merkava, the two times that a person has revelation, direct revelation of God, right, in Yeshayahu and Yechezkel.
And I noted to them the fact that whoever chose the Haftarot said that the real message of Yisro isn't mitzvot, is revelation, right, tells you that as important as the Aseret HaDibrot were, more important to the story of Yisro is not what was said, but was the very fact that there was this moment of an encounter between people and God. And therefore, when whoever was choosing the Haftarot chose the Haftarot, they said the theme that would link to the Dibrot is really revelation rather than mitzvot. Right? And I think that's what this analysis points to, is that before we get next week to what God actually said, the very fact that there was a conversation between people and God and balancing how exactly we do it is as much of the story of Matan Torah as what we actually get in the Aseret HaDibrot. And the complexity in approaching God because we want to be close and recognizing our limitations, the Ava and Yira dichotomy, right, is really the message number one of Matan Torah. Once we've internalized that balance, we can move to the actual mitzvot themselves, but it needs to be on the backdrop of how you actually relate to God. And that's what I was pointed to, in the Haftarot, that the Haftarot point to the centrality of the experience and the relationship, which is the building block upon which we can build the Aseret HaDibrot. So next week, we'll actually talk about the Aseret HaDibrot, and then